In this episode, we have invited Dane Duggan. He is the chief executive of Autism NZ. He is managing 16 Autism NZ branches around Aotearoa. We are fortunate to have him here with us today to talk about their programs and how they support families across the country.
Approximately one in every 59 children are born with autism. Albert Einstein.
Dr. Einstein had no speech until age 3. Steve Jobs. He was a loner. He brought snakes to school.
Leonardo da Vinci. This man was far advanced on the autism spectrum.
I'm not naughty. I'm autistic. And I just get too much information.
This is Lloyd IM, and you're listening to Takiwatanga, Love Not Cure, Exploring Autism One Strength at a Time.
Hi, Dane.
Thanks for having me. Thank you for having me.
No worries, no worries. Thank you. Since you were in this company since, is it company or organization?
Organization. We're a charity. We're a not-for-profit. So
yeah. So you've been here for since 2013?
Yes, I have. Almost 10 years, yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how is it?
Good. I love working for us in the community. It's when I took the job, I said I'd only be here for 3 years, I thought. But, you know, the autistic community is a pretty special community, and the things we do and just trying to help and support the people who live the lives they want to live is pretty exciting. So I'm still here 10 years later and probably got a few more years left in me, I think.
What drove you to stay that long?
Well, firstly, I wanted to get into an organization that helped people. So I applied for this job. I had no link to autism at all. I still don't, other than work. But as I said, just being in the job and just seeing what we can do and hopefully the difference we can make. Because of the fact that our community is generally left behind a bit, I think the system's not really set up for the autistic community. So we're trying to create big positive change out there that's going to help lots of people, and that's what's exciting.
So tell me about the programs you have here.
So basically we do, we've got two main service delivery parts. One is our education programs. So we've got education programs that we will be running anywhere around the country. During school term, we'll probably be running two or three education programs. Some of them are government funded, some of them are our own community programs. So we've got an introductory course called FANS, which is Framework for Autism in New Zealand, which is, I guess, your Autism 101 sort of program, just to get a bit of an understanding of autism. So it's 2 days, so it's a pretty big commitment, but we really get positive feedback about that. Way to Play, which is 1 day, which is just taking a strength-based approach to playing with your child, figuring out, you know, focusing on what the child's interested in, and then putting games and play in place so you can play, which is pretty cool. You know, as a dad, as you all know, I've got 3 kids, you know, being able to play with your kids is one of the coolest things. So Way to Play is a pretty special course, I think, that we run. And then we've got a couple of government contract ones, Tilting the Seesaw for Teams, which is for teachers, teacher aides, and a member of the family, a whānau, or a member of the support network. So it's a team approach to support. And we also have got a program for Tilting the Seesaw for the Learning Support Coordinators, the newly created roles 3 years ago, just to give them some professional development and to increase their knowledge of autism. So essentially that, and we do also bespoke training and things like that as well. So we're doing many different, so education is really, really busy. Outreach, so we've got 16 branches around New Zealand. Some branches have 3 or 4 staff, some branches have 1 person working 10 hours a week, so it's a bit of a challenge for them. But essentially, our outreach program is all about providing information, local advocacy, local connections, so connecting people to other services if and when they need it, because we're pretty good at understanding what's needed, and also helping people get into a position where they're in the right frame to be able to get funding from government and things like that, so we help people with all those type of things as well. But that's very varied, it's always different, outreach is different all the time.
Do you have the same program across the 16 offices?
Yeah, so outreach is the same, but different. Yeah. So there's similar skill sets, similar types of work, but it still depends on what's available in each area. So that perspective is a local sort of flavour as well. Those courses that are run around the whole country at different times. So we've got an education team that flies around the country and runs them, and then we've got our outreach coordinators who are in a branch locally.
Yeah.
And we also do employment as well in transition. So in Wellington and Auckland, we've got employment for adults, which we're pretty excited about, and we've placed probably close to 100 autistic adults into employment. Or helped place 100 autistic adults into employment over the last 5 or 6 years, and about 80% stickability rate, which we're pretty excited about.
So do you do like transitions as well? I mean, like employment, of course, they will need transitions to the new company.
Yep. In Auckland, we've got a transition contract, so we do that. That's government funded. That's funded through the Ministry of Social Development. So we only run those in Auckland and Wellington, unfortunately. We'd love to run them around the country, but it comes down to funding at the end of the day.
But it's possible to get right across the country, yeah. Right?
We can give you help anyway through the branches. We are reliant. I don't think we'll be getting it all around the country anytime soon, but we'll keep working with Ministry of Social Development on trying to do that, because helping people into employment is a pretty cool thing. So we do want to do that more than. But currently, that service is only available in Auckland and Wellington.
And then, if there will be problems, of course, it's no longer going to be under your scope. Like, let's say an autistic person was hired and then he's got problems with.
No, we do on job support. So there's a. Essentially, why we're so successful is the fact that we try to match it right to begin with. So we work with the strengths and the interests of the person, and then try to find an employer that's willing to match that, who's in a similar field to those interests. And then we work with both the employer and the employee to get things ready, and so it can be successful. So we still work with employees when they're in jobs with on-job support as well, and that's for a period of time. So what we find is over time you don't need to continually help, but certainly to begin with, there's quite an intense period of time where you do try to help and support, but that lessens over a period of time.
So do we have many employers who are open to...
It's getting better, I think. We just did a pretty big piece on the Sunday show on TVNZ and followed through autistic adults through their journey, which was pretty cool. And I think we're seeing far more interest now from employers around understanding that it's not a charity, it's actually going to benefit them. So it's not just a charity, it's actually, if you employ someone with autism, if you employ an autistic adult, you're going to have a very loyal employee who could possibly stay for a long period of time. So people are seeing it now more as a benefit for their organisation as well as a benefit for the autistic adult too. Yeah, so we try to frame it now not as a charity, it's actually going to benefit your organisation too.
How are we managing in terms of like COVID? You know, when we had lockdowns last time, and then because we have this routine that they will have these sessions every day to autism and then inside the lockdown, and then they will be, and then after the lockdown they can start going back. Did you do a transition on that?
It's hard. It was mixed actually. So lockdowns was a pretty unusual time for everybody, right? But for our community it was quite difficult. At the same time, because homes, if we focus on kids or children, I guess homes is their safe space a lot of the times. To have school and home all bundled into one. Was and can be quite challenging. A lot of kids really like staying at home, and adults like staying at home as well. So the actual being at home part of it wasn't necessarily the challenge. A lot of the challenges was actually transitioning back into school. And we're seeing now that there's a higher rate of truancy and a higher rate of children not turning up to school in general, just because that transition back to school has been quite difficult for people. So looking at a schooling environment, that's been a challenge for our community. It was more about how do we transition the children back into school rather than the lockdown itself. The challenge with the lockdown was for those autistic children who get support, not being able to access that support was pretty difficult for family whānau. Focusing on children here, obviously, that was pretty difficult. Same with adults. So adults who had support and they couldn't get it, that was probably the hardest part. So we tried our best. We developed an app called Autism Connect, which is an online tool. Or we're in the process of developing that through the lockdown, and it's live now. And Autism Connect's an app where you can talk to our outreach team on an app specifically designed by the autism community and by autistics to connect people. But also they can talk to each other on there as well, so they can create their own support networks, they can create their own support groups all virtually. So it's a video chat and service delivery platform for us as well. So it's relatively new that we're still working through some of the technical bumps and bruises on it, but we're getting there, so that won't be too far away from properly. Hopefully we'll be able to launch that and embed that in our service delivery anyway, because a lot of our community quite like staying at home. So the actual part of staying at home wasn't really the issue. It was more the, as I said, the transitioning back into what the world looks like now. That was probably the harder part. And you know, as you said when you came in here, masks and whatnot, it's all a bit confusing right now. So that was the other part, I think, is there's all these new terms, all these new phrases that no one had really heard of before. That was difficult for the autistic community, because what do these phrases and terms mean? You know, bubbles and things like that. No one knew what they were, and they just all of a sudden happened, and no one really explained what they were. So those things made it really difficult for our community.
Do you offer online sessions? So, I mean, like online, when it's, you know, it's different when you are doing face-to-face session with an autistic person, but doing it online, it's going to be super challenging. So yeah. I've been looking at that as a solution as well?
Well, a bit of both. So I never think online is going to replace face-to-face. I think face-to-face, as you quite rightly pointed out, with the autistic community is really important. But I feel like having online options is also what the lockdown did was speed up our development of our online tools. So most of our education courses now have an online component to it, so we can deliver them online if we go back to lockdown again. As I said, you know, people got used to using Zoom and whatnot anyway, but hopefully the Autism Connect online tool is also going to allow people, and the feedback we're getting from the community is it's actually, they didn't like Zoom, some of them, but they like this because it's simple, it's plain, we've kept it pretty neutral, because Zoom can be quite busy, lots of stuff happening in Zoom, whereas our Autism Connect apps, as I said, quite simple, it's just a video, there's only three buttons for the video chat, for example, and it's just kept simple for our community. We just didn't want to make things confusing. But I don't think it's going to replace face-to-face. I think face-to-face in this sector is really important. I think it's always going to be really important.
Safety as well in terms of like sanitation and like, what's called that? Alcohol?
Hand sanitizer. One of the traits of autism in general, and it's really hard to generalize because you've met one autistic person, you've met one autistic person, as you know, they're all different. So you treat everyone as an individual. But one of the traits are, if there's rules to follow, they'll follow the rules. So that wasn't that big of a deal. It was a big deal in terms of maybe the textual, sort of the feeling of it, that was probably the issue. But the rules were the rules. So generally our community will follow the rules pretty closely. So that wasn't, well, I didn't hear that as much as a big issue. What I'm hearing now a bit more is masks, and the mask exemption process wasn't great. They've tidied it up now a bit, which was good. But people were vilified for not wearing masks when they had a really solid reason and they had an exemption. So we heard too many of those stories, and it took too long to get that sorted out. But we got there in the end. So, you know, now people have mask exemptions. It's a far more formal process. And I think it's hopefully going to make it a bit easier for our community moving forward.
What's the youngest for an autistic person who can be part of the community? Do you have
an
age bracket?
Yeah, no, well, the Autism New Zealand community is from birth to adult. So signs of autism generally, there's research suggests, starts to show around about 12 to 18 months. So that's pretty early, and we're not good in New Zealand at identifying those signs early. So you mentioned your son before, he got diagnosed quite young, which is pretty lucky in New Zealand because you can get the right support around them, right? Whereas for a lot of our children, they're not diagnosed till 6 or 7, and that's quite late comparatively. We've done a bit of research on this over the last few years around, you know, what is the average wait time of diagnosis in New Zealand, and it's about 2 years from when someone says your child's showing signs of autism through to actually getting a diagnosis. It's a 2-year process, which is not acceptable. It's too long. And we're missing critical parts of that child's life where we can make a significant difference in their lives, a significant positive difference in their lives. So we're working, we've set up a diagnosis clinic here, and it's a pilot in Batoni, and it's running today, actually, I think. So it's probably sitting in the room just there, we'll be diagnosing somebody. And our focus of that clinic is really young children and adults, because adults really struggle to get diagnosis in New Zealand. It's a really costly exercise for adults, and that early identification is really important. So we are also doing another pilot up in Auckland where we have trained up two of our staff in a tool called Mosaic, which is an early identification tool as early as 12 to 18 months. And they're about to become trainers. We've done some work with Plunkett where we've trained up probably 250 blanket nurses on looking for signs of autism early. But we hope to formalise that a bit more moving forward now and do some more training. Because the earlier, there's absolutely no doubt, the earlier we identify someone as having autistic traits, the earlier we support that person, the better chance that person goes on to live the lives they want to live. So it's really important. So whilst at the same time, still supporting those people who are identified later in life, and how do we support them on their journey as well.
So is it only Batoni for now?
Just for now. We'd love to roll it out, but it is quite complicated. So we're using the gold standard diagnosis tool. So it can take up to a day to diagnose someone. So it's only about 1 a week we're doing, or 2 weeks, because it's only 1 day a week.
1 day.
Yeah, and it can take, it is the gold standard tool. So you're going to come out of our clinic with a really solid diagnosis, one way or the other, whether you're autistic or whether you're not. That should be recognised everywhere in the country, which is really important.
Right, so it's 1 day result?
Only 1 day a week, and it can take up to one day to diagnose, yeah.
Sorry,
so we tend to do one family or one person a week, I think it is.
Yeah, okay.
It's only a small pilot. there's still a small cost to it as well. We didn't get enough funding to cover all the costs, but we're only charging, $500, I think, $550. Whereas if you went private, it can be up to $1,500 for your diagnosis. And public, there's a significant waiting list. So
yeah,
we're trying to find a middle ground where those who can afford a little bit, it's not as expensive as private, they can come here and get the standard diagnosis.
Yeah. At least they have options. Like for me, in terms of our journey, it could be different for the rest or for others, but for us, we waited quite a bit, and then lockdown came, and then there's this huge 200 plus waiting list now that has blown up. Like, okay, now we have to wait until...
Yes, I know. And that's the other part. So if you get diagnosed through our club, we can link you to our support team here, which is good. So straight away, one thing families tell me all the time, particularly families, but also adults, is you know, you get diagnosed, you get given a couple of brochures and wished all the best sort of thing. So at least here you can talk to somebody. So we can link you into our Wellington branch, currently vacant, but we're about to have someone fill that role shortly. We can link you into our Wellington branch and start getting support earlier, which is really... And ultimately, that model we'd love to take around the country. Right. But again, it's funding. So
yeah. So the more we can get support, perhaps, the more possible, the bigger the possibilities.
Yeah, so the challenge with diagnosis is, when you talk to people about funding that, because it is quite costly, they say the government should be doing that, and they're right, the government should be doing that. So it's hard to get people to understand that they're not doing it as well as they should or could be, and that we need that support and that funding to do it better or differently, or just help people that need help. This is creating a significant difference in the lives of the people that we're diagnosing, which is cool and amazing. But it's been really challenging for us to get this off the ground. It's costly. Doing it one day a week is quite hard. We'd like to do it more than that, but again, it just comes down to funding.
In terms of funding, the more support we can get, the faster the outcome, or the better the outcome will be. And
yeah, then absolutely. You know, and so funding in general, right? So funding for us as an organisation, but funding for Family Fire Now and Autistic Adults. Both of those, I think, you know, the more funding we get as an organisation, because we're a charity and we're not for profit, that money all goes back into the organisation to help more people. You know, no one benefits out of more funding, it just goes back out to the community. So the more we get, the more we can do. And the more the families and adults, the more funding and support they get, the better chance they've got to live, as I said, the lives they want to live. So,
yeah.
And that's what we advocate for very, very strongly is, you know, it's everyone deserves the right to live the life they want to live. So, you know, it's not for me or you or anyone to tell anyone to live the lives that we want them to live. It's their lives.
Yeah.
So we need to equip them with the tools to be able to live those lives.
Especially the environment is not built for autistic people. I mean, especially schools, hospitals,
yep.
You know.
You hit the nail on the head around that. So what we do with Autism New Zealand is we take a social model to autism rather than a medical model. So the societal model is how do we change the environment around the person to create the best chance of that child or adult being successful. So, you know, most of our education programs are targeted at the family, the whānau, the professionals, the teachers, whoever, the employers, who can create an environment that's going to make it better for that autistic person, which means then they have a better life. So that's the model we take, rather than the medical model, where the medical model is all based on trying to change the autistic person. Now, we're not trying to change the person. We acknowledge that someone needs medical support, absolutely. But we're not trying to change the person, we're trying to change the environment to make it a better environment for our community.
Right.
And I think if we do that and we get that right, it's a better environment for everybody. It really is.
It's funding the organisation.
So it's mixed. So government, we get government funding for our, as I said, our education programs. So but that doesn't fund, that comes at a cost because we have to deliver programs, right? So generally that funding covers the cost of delivering those programs because we need to employ people to deliver the programs. So it doesn't really cover the cost of admin and things like that. So we get that. We get some donations, which we really appreciate.
Yeah.
So people... donate money to us, which is always appreciated, and anyone that ever wants to, just go to the website and have a look. And obviously charitable trust funding and lotteries, etc. etc. So essentially that's the split, three-way split really. It's government contracts, donors, and charitable trust funding. And that comes in many different sort of ways of how we apply for that. It's really, ultimately, so our outreach program is not funded at all through government, so that's really critical that we get funding to cover those people because those branches are really important because they fill a massive gap out there in the community. So I think it should be funded through Ministry of Health personally, and we've tried, but we haven't had any success yet. So ultimately, we'll continue to try, but I think that's sort of where we'd like to see, hopefully, the new Ministry for Disability Issues or Health New Zealand or whatever might consider funding that moving forward. Because for a relatively small amount of money, they can have it's a significant difference in the community.
There's a change in our health system, like we have Health New Zealand,
yes,
and then now we have Maori Health as well. Are we impacted by that, or are we...
So it's the Ministry for Disability Issues is probably the one, that's probably the big shift for our community. So the disability support services that's currently sit with the Ministry of Health are going to move over to the Ministry for Disabled People. So that's the big shift there. My argument is, you know, we don't even know the amount of people who are diagnosed as autistic in New Zealand. So
we don't
have stats.
Data.
No, it's ridiculous. We don't have stats. How do you know how much resource to put in the system if you don't know how many people are diagnosed?
Especially for funding.
But based on international figures, there's no reason to suggest it's any different here. There's probably about 93,000 autistic people in New Zealand.
But I suspect there should be more, because there are people who were not diagnosed.
Absolutely.
They don't even know that they are.
Absolutely. So based on those figures, there's 93,000 that are probably diagnosed, and there'll be more than that.
Yeah.
But out of the 93,000 that are diagnosed, only 8,000 are getting disability support services.
Right.
So only a really small percentage of our community are actually impacted by these changes anyway. And those that get support are really the high complex needs. So everything I've been talking about before, if we get the environment and the system right for our community early, and these stats are pretty consistent around the world, 60% of the people will go on to need no support, 30% will need less, and 10% will still need the same. So there's always going to be a percentage of the autistic community that will need significant support, but if we get that support earlier, then there'll be less of need for the others. So there's research, research around the world suggests about 30% of autistic people are high complex or medium need, and about 70% are sort of on the lower end of medium and then lower need. So, but those 70% still need help sometimes, and that's the challenge, right? That's the really hard part, is to get people to recognise the fact that, you know, they still need help, and they don't get it. So, and we actually deal a lot with those people that don't get government funding as well. So a lot of people come to us that don't, because we don't charge for our outreach services. We charge a little bit for our education programs, but it's not significant. But generally, we try to offer our services free of charge if we can.
Yeah. Alleviate some of the costs, especially right now, that given the inflation.
Oh, gosh, it's a challenge, right, isn't it? So, yeah, so we only, I think it's $20 a day or $50 a day for our education programs. So.
Right.
Some people will, you know, I'm not suggesting that's easy for some people, so, you know, we do, we always allow people to come to us if they can't afford it, and we'll waive it and things like that, but professionals, we charge a bit more, so school teachers and things like that, not with the government-funded courses. The government-funded courses are free for attendees. It's our own community courses, because there's costs for us on running those, so we need to cover those, which is a challenge. So we don't profit out of them, we just try to cover costs.
Do we work with other government agencies, like Ministry of Education,
yep,
Health as well?
We probably work with Ministry of Education more than we do Ministry of Health. So,
yeah,
as I said before, we probably see autism more in the education space than the health space, because,
yeah,
as I said, it's all about trying to educate the environment around the person and trying to set up a better environment for that person. We work with Ministry of Health as well, though. So I, particularly during COVID, I was probably in 2 or 3 meetings a week,
right,
around the disability response to COVID, which wasn't great. So, you know, we ran vaccine clinics here. You might have seen that. We ran 7 or 8 vaccine clinics here. So we got probably, I think it was about 600 or 700 people vaccinated, the COVID vaccination here, who, talking to them, because I was here at all of them except one, talking to them, I'd say at least 20% of those people tried to get vaccinated at a mainstream clinic and couldn't. I would have loved to have rolled this out around the country, but getting these ones off the ground were hard enough, let alone trying to roll them around the country. I was a bit frustrated with the lack of engagement with Ministry of Health. So, but the local DHB, they did a really good job here. So, full credit to the CCDHB and the combined Hutt Valley CCDHB and the Porirua DHB. It was a combined group, and we vaccinated people from all around the region, which was pretty exciting.
Yeah,
it was really good.
Yeah,
some of the stories were heartening. Yeah, you know, we had one person was here for 2 hours before he got vaccinated, and that was fine. There was no big deal here, but if you're in a mainstream clinic, that probably wouldn't have been allowed to happen. So, you know, but here it was, you just hang around, you played with toys, did whatever he did, and he was pretty comfortable here, and then got vaccinated. One person got vaccinated in the car outside. That was fine. So it just didn't matter. Like we were able to be flexible with him here, which was great. Yeah.
If parents suspect that their child is in autism spectrum, can they reach out to you?
Absolutely. Or? So reach out to your local branch. Mm. So all the details are on the website, autismnz.org.nz. And your local branch, so we don't diagnose other than here in Petone. But we can point you in the right direction of where to get diagnosed and what the process is. So absolutely reach out to us. If you're suspecting someone in your family is possibly showing signs of autism, then absolutely reach out and have a chat to our outreach coordinators. We can also link you into our education programs, because even if it turns out your child doesn't have autism, there's no harm going to our programs. It doesn't hurt. So, you know, we'd suggest you get on those programs as quick as you can. Just creates a bit of an understanding of autism in the family unit, and that's really important.
Yeah. So in our case, again, because when we found out, like, maybe he's in the autism spectrum for my son, and then we thought, like, where should we go? Do we need to go to the GP or the psychiatrist? Mm-hmm. Or, I mean, like, a lot of confusion, like, there's no standard.
Yep. Your journey is, unfortunately, very similar to a lot of other people's journey. It's not a clear process. And it's different in different areas and all sorts of stuff. So essentially, you've got to try to get into the child support services within the DHB, which will change, obviously, moving forward. But essentially, that's the public approach. So, and you generally have to have a referral from your GP. So generally, that's how it works. So you've got to go to your GP. Getting a referral from your GP sometimes can be quite difficult. And all due respect to GPs, I think GPs are great. But they've just said out there, they're general practitioners, so they're supposed to know a little bit about lots of stuff. So they aren't autism experts, and that's not what their job is. So, you know, ultimately, I think coming to us would be a good start, and then, you know, we can point you in the right direction from there. As I said, the process is different in every area, and if you want to go private or public, and many different questions to answer. As I said, the wait list is significant in most areas if you go public. If you go private, it can be quite expensive, so that's the balance.
What is autism in the eyes of Dean?
It's a different way of thinking. Autism is a different way of thinking. And someone, I think Dr. Paul Taylor, was at our conference actually that we had in Nelson, and he described it as the autistic brain thinks like an Apple Mac processing system, and the neurotypical brain is like a PC processing system or a Windows processing system. And that's the challenge, because they don't talk to each other very well. So it's not, we treat autism not as a disability. We treat it as a difference and a different way of thinking, and then how do we create an environment where those two processing systems can interact differently? And that's, for me, what autism is. It's just a different way of thinking. I acknowledge that there will be people that will need a lot of support as time goes on, but there'll be some that don't need much support at all. So how do we get that balance right for our community as well is a really hard part, because some will need 24/7 care for the rest of their lives. And a lot of those people who are diagnosed as autistic will have comorbid diagnosis as well, so they'll be diagnosed with something else. And those people need significant support versus those people who can live a life that they want to live. It's just getting the right supports in place.
Any general message to parents and carers?
I think the first thing is, you know, if you think your child's showing signs of autism or traits of autism, autism is essentially a group of behaviours that was once lumped together and someone called, this is autism. That's what it is. There's no objective test. You can't go in and get tested for it. It is a subjective assessment. So don't be scared of it. The sooner that we get that child seen, the better. And then we collectively, as a country, can wrap supports around that person, hopefully, to give them the support they need. And, you know, it doesn't, my old chairman said something to me once that's always resonated with me is, look, she had an autistic adult, reasonably high need autistic adult. Now, adult now, I was a teenager, I think, when I started. And she said, look, having an autistic child has given her some great experiences in life. You know, she's done some amazing things with him. She was our chairman. We went to conferences and she's seen things, she's learned things. And that wouldn't have happened if she hadn't had an autistic child. So yes, there can be some challenges, but at the same time, there's some really good strengths of having an autistic child. And you'll know that yourself, right?
Yeah.
And look, you love your child, so it's just about trying to find the right supports for your child. But don't worry about trying to fix your child. I think the key part is enjoy your child like everyone else. Have fun. Play. Do all the things that you would normally do. And just get the right supports around them to make sure him or her can can live the best lives they want to live.
Okay, great answer. Thank you. What advice would you give to a self-driven autistic person about to enter the real world?
So I guess we're talking about after school, is that the real world? So look up transition providers if you're eligible for that. So if you're an AWS funded person, if you get AWS, which is the ongoing resourcing scheme, is your boy AWS funded?
We're still it's a horrible process, super, super challenging.
It's a hard process. This. Anyway, if you get AWS funding, you can get transition support. So if you're an AWS funded student, then look at getting transition support. We offer that in Auckland. And we will offer in Wellington, but look for other providers. There's many other providers out there. And that's a really good start, because that can help you get into a position where you have a better understanding of yourself and what it is you're trying to do out there after school. And if it's employment and you're in Auckland or Wellington, definitely look us up. I think we've got a waiting list, unfortunately, but definitely look us up and we can certainly have a chat around how we can help in that space. And if it's other things, like whether you're trying to go to university or whatever, some of the universities have got really good support networks in place as well. So just make sure you're fishing out the right supports. It all comes down to the right supports, really, at the end of the day. And universities now, I think, have improved significantly around their supports for the neurodivergent community. I think they have. They're still not perfect by any stretch, but their support's available. So make sure you're out there looking, see what's available. And if you need help with that, we can help you with that. So definitely contact your local branch and we can help you.
How can people find you?
The best way to do it is autismnz.org.nz. And all our contact details are on there. The branch details are on there. All our courses, all our tools, it's all readily available on the website. You just have to register, I think, for some of them. And once you register, you'll have access to that particular tool. It's free of charge, most of them, as I said. Some of the courses, there'll be a small cost too, but overall, most of our services, 90% of our services are free of charge. So just have a play around on the website. There'll be some information on there. And then check out the branch network and contact your local branch. Or download Autism Connect, which is a web-based app, it's a PC-based app, sorry, so it's a, on your computer. So you get access to that, and you register, you can get access to that, and it opens up a whole, you can access any of our outreach coordinators through that app as well. So it doesn't matter where you are in the country, you can access anybody there, which is quite a cool tool, and talk to other autistic people as well. And set up your own support groups on there if you want to, and all this type of stuff. It's all self-directed sort of support. So.
And anyone can do that? Yep. I mean, like, yeah.
If it's a secure platform, that's why people like it. So there is a registration process. So it's not like Facebook or anything. You have to actually provide us with ID to prove who you are, because we want to keep it safe. But you guys can, as families, absolutely. So you could go on, register, and talk to other families and things like that if you wanted to. Or talk to autistic adults about their experiences and stuff like that. So absolutely.
So do you need a proof of, like, when they are assessed or diagnosed?
No, you just need proof of who you are. Yep. So because we just want to make sure it's a secure space, that's all. So just proof of you, that you are you, and that's it. You don't need proof of any diagnosis or anything, though. It can be used. Quite a few people who come to us aren't diagnosed as well, so we get quite a few undiagnosed people as well, which is, we still help and support.
Thanks, that's
awesome. Awesome, man. Thank you very much for
Thank you for
having me.
Your time.
Really appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Every tangata fai take wa tanga is different. If you fail with one strategy, don't stop. Keep moving forward. Always remember that for every failure you encounter, it's one step closer to your success.
Thanks for tuning in. Till next time, memuto te fakawa haere. Let's stop judging others. Memahi tahi tato. Let's all work together. Kia kaha, kia maia. Stay strong, be brave.